So Hosea 11, God continuing to plead and cry out and reach out to his precious children. And we're coming toward the end of the book where God is pleading even more. So notice Hebrews 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And they called them, so they went from them, and they sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. So God said in this passage, I am God and not man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would use your word tonight to speak to our hearts. I pray that we'll be blessed by it and grow through it, and that you'll be glorified in it. So we give you this service. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So God starts off the chapter, of course, with a prophecy of Jesus Christ, which was fulfilled in the book of Matthew. We can turn there quickly, Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, and see the fulfillment of this Hosea 11, 1 prophecy, where God refers back to this verse. And there are many of these in the Old Testament, more than 50 of them, specific prophecies about the birth and the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Matthew 2:15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So that was a double statement, if you will. God here was specifically saying he called Israel out of Egypt, of course, back when he delivered them under Moses, but then it was also a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ being called out of Egypt as well. And then he goes on here in the chapter to speak to them. And God reminds them in this first part of the chapter how good he's been to them. And how good has the Lord been to each of us? It just, you know, we can't count them. Forget not all his benefits, the Bible says. But he mentions specifically some things, like in verse 3, he says at the end of the verse, they knew not that I healed them. We serve a God that heals. And he's not just talking about physical ailments. He's talking about all things that need healed in our lives. Of course, he healed us from our sin problem and he saved us. But he is the God that heals. Matter of fact, in Exodus 15, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, which is one of the compound Jehovah names, Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord healeth thee. And so he says, I healed them. And then in verse 4, he says, I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. He says, in other words, I protected them in my love. And God does the same for us. He heals us. He protects us. The Lord, if you go to Psalm 33:20, promises to be our shield, our protector. And hallelujah for that. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. There in Matthew 28:20. But notice Psalm 33:20 said, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. God is our protector. And God is the one that heals us. But But also it says in verse 4, "And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them." So he says, I not only healed them and protected them, but I fed them. And praise God, he feeds us, doesn't he? And it's not just talking about spiritually, like tonight, through his word, but God is the God that feeds his children. Go to Luke chapter 2, and we'll see this. Luke chapter 12. But God here uses his own creation and nature to teach us that he feeds his children. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 22, where the Bible says, "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" He says, look at the ravens. I feed them. Surely if I feed the ravens, I'll feed my children. And so he's reminding Israel that he is a good God, that he protects his children, that he heals his children, that he feeds his children. And then we'll come back to some other verses. But look down in verse 9. The fourth thing that he reminds them of here is that he is a God that doesn't give us what we deserve. And this one's very special. He says, verse 9, "I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger." We are so blessed that this is true for us as well. If you think about how often we fail him, how often we make mistakes, if every single time we failed him, he had to execute his wrath upon us in accordance with our violating his holiness, think about where we'd be. Our life would be just nothing but constant punishment. But that's not the God that we serve, is it? Look at Psalm 103, verse 10, where David recognized this as well in his own life. Psalm 103 and verse 10, where the Bible says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." And that's true for everyone. He hasn't dealt with us after our sins. He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. God is a merciful God. He tells Israel that way back in Deuteronomy. He says, "For our God is a merciful God." And he says to Israel here that, "I haven't given you essentially what you've deserved up to this point. You basically, as a nation, have deserved to be destroyed, but I haven't done it because I'm a God of mercy." And so he's reminding them, "I've healed you, I've protected you, I've fed you, I haven't dealt with you according to your sins." And he says, the reason for all of this, verse 9, is because I am God and not man. God does what God does because he's God. And often we expect to fit God into a man box, don't we? And we expect him to think like we do and act like we do, and he doesn't. Because he's God and not man. And this is true in many areas, but he's saying specifically to Israel, "You're still alive, you're still my chosen people, you're still a nation who I will never destroy, because if I was a man, you'd be gone. But I'm not a man, I'm God. And God does things differently." And this is a very important truth for us. Go to Numbers 23:19. And I just want to show you a couple of verses. But this is important that we never try to fit God into a man box. And that goes for even things that sometimes are hard to fit into our own logic. You know, the Jehovah's Witness will come to your door and they'll say, "There's no way Jesus could have been God, otherwise he was praying to himself." That's not logical. And a person could easily say, "Well, you're right, that's not logical, so it must not be true." But are not God's ways higher than our ways? Can't God do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it? You see, we can't say, "Well, God has to fit into this system or this way of thinking." Notice Numbers 23:19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall I not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall I not make it good?" In other words, God will always do the right thing. God will never lie. God will always keep his promises because he's not a man. Because man lies and man breaks his promises. God doesn't. So he says, I am God and not man. Now go to Micah 7 and we'll see it again. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. I'll do that for my own benefit. All right. Micah 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee, Micah 7, 18, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. That's God. He delighteth in mercy. Hallelujah. We're so blessed that our God delights in mercy. And then Malachi 3:6, next to the last book in the Old, or the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3:6. Look what he says to Israel here in the last book before the silent period. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So he says to Israel, listen, I've protected you. I've fed you. I've watched over you. I haven't executed upon you what you deserved based upon your sin. I've fed you. Why? Because I'm God and not man. Because I don't behave like men behave. God is God, and God is always does the right thing. So one more passage, Romans 11, verse 28. Romans 11, verse 28. Look what he says to Israel here. He says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, talking about Israel. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He's talking here about Israel. And he's saying, I've made many promises to Israel, and I'm going to keep them because he is God and not man. So he says, I've healed you, I've protected you, I've fed you, I haven't dealt with you according to your sin because I'm a merciful God, because I am God and not man. And yet, in this same chapter, let's go back up to verse 5, he also recounts the reasons why, if he was a man, Israel would be gone. Notice verse 5. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refused to return. They refused to return. Remember what the key word of Hosea is? Return. And he said, I've kept sending prophets and sending prophets, and they refused to return. And eventually the captivities did come, but Israel is still Israel. They're still alive. And, you know, as God's children, let's never get to this point where we refuse to listen, refuse to return. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, in Proverbs 29:1. So they refuse to return. Verse 6, not only that, but it says at the end of the chapter, and because of their own counsels. So they, again, we've seen this over and over again, they refused to seek God's counsel. Instead, they sought and acted upon their own wisdom. And how many times are we told not to do this? That they are rebellious children. Go to Isaiah 30, verse 1, and we'll see this. And part of their rebellion was not seeking direction or wisdom from God, who is the source of true direction, the source of true wisdom. Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They take counsel, but not of me. And so he's saying, my people, my children, my chosen ones refuse to return. They seek their own counsel rather than seeking counsel of me. And then back to our chapter, verse 7, they are bent to backsliding. My people are bent to backsliding. How sad. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. So again, pointing out their sin, They refused to give God the glory. They were bent to backsliding. They didn't seek counsel from God. They refused to return. And yet God says, I've healed you. I've protected you. I have fed you. I haven't treated you what your sins deserved. Because I am God and not man. And to cap the chapter off, he finishes with a promise. Isn't that beautiful? Despite all this wickedness, being bent to backsliding, seeking their own counsel, refusing to return, refusing to exalt the Lord, verse 10, they shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion, and he shall roar. The children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses. Don't you love how God does that? We saw it all through Isaiah. We saw it all through Jeremiah. Now we're seeing it all through the minor prophets. God says, I'm going to have to punish you. I'm pleading with you to come back. Your punishment is going to be severe. But then he often finishes with the promise, however, at the end, you will get your kingdom. At the end, as a nation, you'll get a new heart and you'll return unto me. It's kind of like us, isn't it? I mean, we make mistakes, we stumble, we fall. God, we ask God to forgive us, and he does because he's faithful. But in the end, we get heaven. Praise the Lord. And the devil can't change that. So God reminding Israel, God reminding us, I am God and not man. Let's not try to put God into a man box. If there are things that are hard to understand, we shouldn't be surprised. I still run across verses quite often that I'm like, Lord, I don't understand that verse. And no matter how much I study it, I don't understand that verse. It's just like, I'm sure God will explain it to me when I get to heaven. But yeah, there's just passages of Scripture that are tough to understand, aren't there? Should that surprise us? It's God. His ways are higher than our ways. But when it comes to salvation and the teachings of God and man, those are easy to understand, and that's what matters. So God says, I am God and not man. He tells us in Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's God. I am God and not man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for reminding us.